So we have two men. Jesus is talking to a group. We have two men. We have Lazarus. We know his name. We know that we don't know the rich man's name. That could be just about anybody. We know that that Lazarus dies and he's taken up by angels and receives a reward. He'd been sitting outside the gate of a rich man. Now the rich man, we need to consider him, I guess, first. He was rich, he had purple robes, he had lots of food. Obviously he had a house, his house had a gate. He invited people over to visit him. He knew all of the people who were in charge of things. He probably went to the temple every time he should. Probably gave them the money that he should give them, his tithe, if you will. He did all of these things so that people could see how rich he was. His riches were seen. He probably even had people come over and have dinner with him. Whoever the senator is or whoever the president is, come visit him. You have great dinner. Poor Lazarus was by the gate. We can imagine people coming to visit this man and seeing Lazarus down there with sores, dying really, and stepping aside and saying, why doesn't somebody drag him off someplace else so we don't have to look at him? Really? Take him somewhere else, because every time I look at him, it just makes me sick, and it ruins the good food we're going to eat. I can almost hear the husband and wife in this conversation. Certainly, kind of like the conversation you go when you drive by the, remember the old feedlots? You drive by the feedlots and you say, oh, hold your nose, cover your eyes. But, so there he is, and the rich man dies. He goes to hell. Rich man's in hell, and Hades is the word, it's hell. It's not mentioned very many times in the Bible. It is not Sheol. You need to understand that. In Jewish, with Judaism, people go to Sheol as a waiting place, waiting for the renewal, for the redemption of the Lord, for the Old Testament redemption of the Lord. Sheol is there. If you think about it, we've got heaven, got earth, got Sheol, and then we've got hell. Hell is a place for punishment. Sheol is not. So he goes to hell. And he's sitting there, and just imagine, you know, I've got my robes are getting scorched, and I'm getting pretty dry, and I look out and sees Abraham. Now, why Abraham? Jesus is telling this story. Why Abraham? He's telling it to Jews. Who was Abraham? Abraham is the patriarch of the Hebrews. He was the one that God promises that he's going to make his descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand of the ocean. So just all these descendants. Abraham's the patriarch. And he sees that here's Lazarus, and Abraham's with him. And calls upon Father Abraham. Father Abraham, you're the patriarch. You are the one who started the whole thing. You should be able to save me. You should be able to do something for me. And Abraham says, hey, you've had everything your way in life. You've squandered it. You didn't take care of anything but yourself. You thought of only you. And of course, the president, and the senators, and everybody else that you mixed with. There's nothing I can do. Well, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to just bring me a drop of water to put on my tongue to refresh me. Wow. Lazarus was by his gate. He knew his name. Didn't help him. But he wants Lazarus. He wants Abraham to send Lazarus to come. And Abraham says, you can't cross over there. And you can't cross over this way. You've got what you deserve. You have got, you where you're supposed to be. In life, take care of yourself. In death, see how well you do down here. Lazarus has got a table. He's got food. He's got water. His sores are healed. Probably got a nice robe on. Talking to Father Abraham. Just having a great afterlife, if you will. And Abraham says to the rich man, he says, this is the way it goes. You didn't do anything. You had the Moses and the prophets, he didn't do anything. And the guy says, well, Moses, where is he coming in? Well, Moses, you have to remember, Abraham is the patriarch of the Hebrews. And they were following, Abraham is the patriarch of the Hebrews. And they're following God through Abraham, and they're doing exactly what Abraham did in order to serve God. Okay, if you turn away from these things, basically the law of Abraham. Moses comes after the Hebrews have gone to Egypt, and it's in Egypt that the Hebrews are there. They become slaves. Moses leaves, comes back, and he is the dude. He is not the patriarch. He is the giver of the law, which is given to them by God. So now they become Jews. Think about it that way. Hebrews here, they move up to this point. They had to grow in God, and they had different families and clans and everything. They grew up that way. End up in Egypt. Moses comes, takes them out of Egypt, and my son and I, he brings them the law, brings them the commandments, brings them God with them. Although God was watching over them before, he brings God with them. So it's kind of hard to think about. It's kind of like me, I guess. There was a time when I knew of God, even a time that I played lip service to God, even a time where I probably did my best to kind of follow God, fell away, and then hit with a 2x4 and give the gift of faith. Suddenly I'm a Christian. And this is such a long history that it's hard to understand. But that's where Moses comes in important. He says, you had the prophets. You had all those prophets. And then you had Moses, who told you how to live. 10 commandments. Take care of each other. Take care of the women. Take care of the poor. Take care of all these people. Moses, who said, open your eyes so that you know. And then you have, from that, you have all the information you need to be aware of Lazarus. And you still could have been rich. The sin here is that you did not look at him. Or if you did, you didn't do anything about him that you were supposed to do. You didn't help to heal him. You didn't give him food. He's basically laying out there wasting away because you didn't do anything. Therefore, guess what? This is this is what you get, and Lazarus gets this. I can imagine everybody around there saying, what, this doesn't make any sense. And a lot of rich people are saying, whoa, wait a minute, what's he talking about? Turn their back on it. As I read this, and as I've thought about it, all the history that issue of Abraham and Moses and Hebrew versus Jew, all these things, as I thought about it, I thought about, what about me? And I've come to the conclusion that I need to sit down every day and ask myself, what did I turn my head away from? Christy Lazarus. I'm not rich, but I'd like to be rich. Be nice, be rich. I know rich people, and they took care of them, or they took care of them. They use their wealth for good things. I've known rich people that were basically evil. I want more riches. Went to church every Sunday, and they gave money to the church, and they gave money to all these places. I don't have to worry about it anymore, because that's all taken care of for me. I can go out here now, and I can get more money. Get more money. That's my love. Money and power. Not money to do things with. Ralph Braun in Winnemac, Indiana, has owns a Braun Enterprises that make the lifts and everything for trucks. And by the way, he's crippled. He started out, he invented the thing for him to slide from his into his car from his wheelchair so that he could drive. He was like 17, 18 years old, and now it's a multi-international corporation. And I was talking to him one time, and I said, well, Ralph, what do you do with all that money? And he said, there's only one reason to have money. And he says, that's to create jobs so that people can work. That's what I do. I create jobs. I buy companies and that are going under or have gone under. At that time, Delco Remy had, Chrysler, I guess, moved there. That's where they made their harnesses for the cars. And they had moved to Mexico. He bought the building, put all the people back to work. So they need to work. And he's been blessed because of that being his attitude. His attitude is to give it away. He's getting more and more. I'm not rich. I have food on my table. I have a house to live in. I've got clothes to wear. I have a good wife. I didn't mean that to sound like there was any question. I'm going to hell. but I have all of these things. I have God that thought enough of me to bring me from this point here to where I am now. And I think this thing can take me further. But God expects me to see Lazarus. And he expects me to do something about Lazarus. And you know, that sounds like such a big job. I tell you that every day I see him. Every day I'm sure that I walk past Lazarus. That there's somebody with some need that I don't take care of. I've come to the conclusion at night I've got to sit down and say, where did I miss Lazarus today? And what could have I done different, and what will I do different tomorrow? That's what this is all about. It doesn't matter about histories, it doesn't matter about anything. It matters about the story. The story is that there are people, Lazarus is out there, and Lazarus might be a rich man that I don't approach and tell him about the faith. That I don't approach and say, look, have you thought about this? Or that I don't approach and seeing him in pain because of a death or because of something else, and say to them, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. Jesus calls me to be with you. That's what this is all about. It doesn't matter whether we are rich or we are poor. We can be poor and still realize that Lazarus is there by our gate waiting for us to do something. I shouldn't say waiting. By our gate, sick, naked, hungry, in need, crying out. What is it Jesus said? I was hungry, you fed me, I was in prison, and you visited me, I was naked, you clothed me, I was hungry, you
fed me, all that, and therefore I say to you, come in. Lazarus is out there. And I'm sure that if I will take that, take my part of my prayer time, say, Lord, where did I miss Lazarus today? Where did I make this inkling of difference that the rich man, just a drop of water, doesn't take much? Lord, help me to see. Help me to make this life better. Help me to accept this life as what I believe. Pray with me.
Gracious and loving God, we praise your name. We give thanks for your word and for everything that you do for us and for our lot in life in walking with you. Lord, we just pray that you'd open our eyes that we might see Lazarus. All the Lazaruses in the world that are in need of help, in need of encouragement, in need of hope. Help us to see them, to reach out to them,